The scripture says where two or three are gathered in my name, they may ask anything and I will do it. You have to ask. Then you have to call on God. You need to be asking the question, Father God, what house do you want us to live in? You need to be in agreement with God's way and the season that you're in. In this episode of the Currently Injury Podcast, we're going to break down the power of agreement. And Rabbi, there's a lot of different ways we could really take this one, but let's just land into it, or I guess roll into it real softly. What is the power of agreement?
Well, the power of agreement, the scripture says, where two or three are gathered in my name, they may ask anything and I will do it. Just think about this. This is Jesus, Yeshua. He's saying, wherever you gather, if you guys can agree, I'll do it. I think the I will do it is where I want to start.
Okay, so let's start with that. But I know a couple of notes from the team that they want us to kind of dive into is one, power of agreement in terms of words, Rabbi, and then the power of agreement in terms of holy versus unholy agreements. So let's start where you kind of want to direct this conversation, and then we'll just kind of work our way back a little bit.
Okay, so let's deal with the holy, and let's deal with like actually getting the supernatural to happen. Okay.
Okay.
Let's go with the how do we like supernaturally? I'll give you an example of power of agreement. The Jews in Israel just recently, during Sukkot, and on the second to last day of Sukkot, and on the last night of Sukkot, Simchat Torah, decided to have 50,000 Jews from all different sects. Ultra-Orthodox, secular Jews, everything that you can imagine. Just like inside the church, there's all these different groups. But they chose to put everything aside and do the prayers. And basically what the prayers are is speaking out the word of God. But before you speak out the word of God in Judaism, who may approach the throne room of God, he who has clean hands. So there has to be repentance, then there has to be agreement, then there has to be agreement with the word, and then the word needs to be spoken. Okay? So in this Sukkot, they needed supernatural intervention. So at the Wailing Wall, at the Kotel, there was over 50,000 Jewish people doing that agreement. But then there was thousands, they say upwards of 5,000, that went to the south and went to where the Nova Music Festival was and actually got on the ground where the attack happened. And they did the same thing, the power of agreement, the power to repent to God, the power to forgive their enemies. And then the supernatural result on the eve, on the afternoon of the last day of Sukkot, 20 live hostages, and I can't stress this enough, 20 live hostages, Hamas actually released them from, you know, the prisons and in those tunnels. That is such a supernatural event. And then the next day after that, President Trump meets at Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt with 39 leaders and Arab countries to be able to sign a peace accord and a peace agreement to decide to dismantle the radical faction of terrorism in the Middle East. This is the most epic spiritual answer of supernatural agreement, but that supernatural agreement happened because what happened is they went to Jerusalem, and first of all, they had to ask, they had to call, and they had to show up. And they came in agreement, laying all the different sides of their religious interpretation and their doctrines aside and saying, we need God to move. We know how to make him move, and it's in the power of agreement. And then we need to go where the enemy perpetrated the crime, get feet on the ground and forgive and repent. And This is not being spoken about any place, but I'm telling you, that's what brought the supernatural. So if you want the power of agreement, you just watched it on the most epic scale with what just happened with President Trump and his team and Benjamin Netanyahu and his team. And it's great. They did a great job, but the power of what happened in Jerusalem and happened at the Nova Concert Center, the place out in the desert there in Gaza and on the border of Gaza. That's where the enemy was bound and cast down so that the supernatural could happen.
So I'm tracking. I think I'm on the same trip with you right here, and I think people watching and listening are too, but I want to kind of bring it back a little bit, and then we can build back up, Rabbi, okay? The power of agreement, let's say, in a individual's family, right, in terms of coming together, right, because two or three or more are gathered, you know, the presence is with you, right? And so let's kind of build up from there. Let's say from the power agreement in a family perspective, and then kind of branch off so we can get some real actionable, practical things for people watching right now.
Okay, so let's do family. In a family, the husband and wife, the father and the mother, if you have children, they first of all need to ask. Okay, you have to ask. Then you have to call on God. So you have to ask the question, what is it that you want? So I'm going to use an example. You may say, we're going to ask for this mansion on the beach in Florida. And okay, we're going to pray. But the people they're just working class people, they can ask for the mansion, but they're not going to get the mansion because they can't afford the mansion. Do you see what I'm saying? And so what happens is you can't ask for something that, because the Lord says, owe no man no money, for instance. Okay, I'm not trying to complicate this, but there's many reasons why, let's say a young couple with a newborn child, they say they want to ask. You need to be asking the question, Father God, what house do you want us to live in? And the Lord's not going to take somebody that's just starting out and put them into, $300,000 or $400,000 of mortgage payments. He's not going to do that. That's not the nature of God. So it's not just you can ask for anything. First of all, you have to ask God, and then you need the scripture to back up where the Lord says he will provide a safe dwelling place for you. Okay. So then you ask, you say, Father God, we need a house that fits our family in this season. Your word says that you will provide a dwelling place. But your word also says that you will bless the work of my hands. So, you know, I'll be able to pay for it. Those are all agreements with God's word, God's ways, and with the people's ways. So one of the biggest things in families is you need to be in agreement with God's way and the season that you're in.
So, Rabbi, last week we kind of dove into Siobhan a little bit more, a tribe of Manasseh. And one main takeaway that I took from it was that to really dive in, right, you have to be really laser focused on serving the Lord individually, right? So if you want results in your family, if you want results with your spouse, your kids, your friends, your career, whatever it is, you got to dive in for what God wants from you and take the direction with it. Because look, I'm a huge, God's perfect timing, perfect plan for your life, it's always better than what you had imagined, right? So I think that ties absolutely back to kind of what you're speaking about right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to really summarize it. Then you can, whether you are a family, a church, or a business, whoever's the head of the family, the church, and the business, okay, that person has insight to do what's best. And what happens is there has to be a relationship of trust for everyone that's underneath that covering to be able to come in agreement. Where there's a problem in the disagreement, I'll just give you an example of what's happening like in Israel. Such a good learning lesson. So they're in Hostage Square. So this has been all over the television. And Steve Witkoff, the president's liaison and advisor to Israel, he's there with Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump. They're in the square and they're speaking to the people. The agreement has been made to release the hostages, okay, and a ceasefire. So Steve Witkoff is up there and he says, and let's give thanks to President Donald J. Trump. And you've got, like, I don't know how many people there, probably 300,000, half million. And they're all screaming and yelling, yay, Trump, 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 Trump. And so then they said, and also we want to thank Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Boo. And there's all this resistance. Now, that's not the power of agreement. But the fruit of what just happened is Prime Minister Netanyahu and his team were the ones that brought the release of the hostages. Donald Trump backed him up. Donald Trump was the one that put the pressure on the nations like Turkey and Qatar and the different ones. But the actual working on the ground of putting the pressure so that when Trump's pressure came, it was Prime Minister Netanyahu. But yet the children, so to say, the people, half the crowd there, half of Israel, is angry at Prime Minister Netanyahu. So a lot of times when you're the leader, you're the father, you're the CEO, you're the whoever it is making that choice, you need to understand that you need to manage the agreement as much as being in agreement with God. You have to do a good job communicating. Now, with this situation with Prime Minister Netanyahu, I mean, I'm deeply involved in this. So there's stuff that he can't tell the people, I can't tell the people, and the people that are working behind the scenes with all of this, these are just things you don't talk about. And there's reason. It's for the protection of the people. So a lot of times, like even with a family, even in my role as a grandfather, there's things that I don't share with the grandchildren. They don't need to know. They just need to know they trust Saba. That's all they need to know. They trust mom and dad. And in the agreement of the trust is when the blessings flow. Now, what happened with Israel, and it hurt my heart to hear him booing, and I understand why, and I understand the left and right factions of Israel. It's very diverse. But the point is that Prime Minister Netanyahu made the right choice, and the fruit of the release of those hostages is fruit to say, you know what, he did make the choice. So he was in agreement with the right people, the 39 countries, with Trump and everybody else. And guess what happened? The supernatural event took place. So I think sometimes in the power of agreement, you as fathers and mothers and with children particularly, you're going to have to make a decision to lead and not be their friend. You're going to have to make a decision to put up with the boo, we don't like you, particularly in those teenage years. You're going to have to make a decision to, well, with Megan, she'll tell you, I've told her whole life, I'm not your friend, I'm your dad. And we're probably more friendly now. But realistically, I am her rabbi and I am the founder of Kurt Landry Ministries. She's the CEO. But do you see what I'm saying? I have to lead and do what I'm called to do, even when they boo. But at the end of the day, when the decision is made, so I guess what I'm saying, the highest level of agreement, whoever's leading, whether it's the parent, whether it's the CEO, whether it's the pastor of a church and the leaders, whatever, is you have to be at first in agreement with God, make sure you've heard clearly from God, and then keep following and let the fruit and overcome the naysayers by your testimony. and not have to be right during the booing time. This is all going to work itself out in Israel. I know my people. I know how this works. It's all going to work out. But as of right now, people are still kind of hurt because they didn't want a 2-year window with the hostages. No one wants that. But you also have to come in and realize that the whole society and the family and every family that's touched by this, including my family, is you have to give yourself grace and say, you know what, everyone's got post-traumatic stress. Everyone's flipped out. We've been on this emotional roller coaster. And you've got to just, as a leader, give everybody time to let the dust settle. Okay? And so being in agreement doesn't mean that from point A, we're in agreement to the actual result, that it's going to go your way. But if you want how something starts is how it finishes, the key thing is you need to make sure God asked you to do it. It will always line up with God's word. And then you follow the habits and patterns of God's ways of doing it in the fruit of the Spirit. And then just keep moving, knowing that you're going to have people, even in your own family, that may try to resist you. You have to stay in agreement with the plan. That's why in Habakkuk 2, and I always tell you to write things down, go to your goals to grow, because what happens is once you write it down, once you come in agreement, once you start decreeing it, the enemy is going to do everything he can to try to get you to divert with something that appears that the grass is greener, always on the other side of the fence. And you can't do that. If you can't stay on track with the mission, you're a weak leader. And speaking to parents and speaking to moms and dads is you have to lead the family. You need to love your children. And I know this sounds old school. And you can be friendly with them, but they have to look at you and know that guess what? They can correct you and direct you for your own good, because when you're at that adolescent teenage stage, you're not thinking exactly as you would in 5 to 10 years. So while they're going through that transition period, whether it's in a business, a family, a new church, an old church, while you're going through all this stuff, the leader has to stay steady and in agreement with God and with the vision and stay on that path. If you're going to lead, you have to be consistent, and in consistency lies the victory.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, you're firing in this episode. I think people would agree. Let's turn it this direction for the rest, the last 5 to 8 minutes of this podcast, Rabbi, because I know it's a big pain point, just talking with our prayer pastors, our prayer ministry. Let's look at the power of disagreement, right? Within a spousal, a home structure. It could even be flipped of roles, Rabbi, that the husband is not being that spiritual leader, right? Or it could be flipped to where the wife is taking more of that role. And so how do we navigate through disagreement, right? Turn it into a positive in terms of leadership and the power of agreement and the power of words, and leading the home, leading the family closer to God. And, you know, if you have kids, let's throw kids into it, right? Raising up the next generation to lead those families for Christ.
I would say one of the biggest things that has strengthened our family, and it's passed on even to the Marcelinos, is Shabbat. Because on Shabbat, what happens is every Friday at sundown, you have Paul Marcelino, and he's going in and speaking blessings over his wife and over the children and anybody else that's visiting during the Shabbat. If Christy and I are there, he's speaking over the parents, and it's all scripture. So what he's doing is he's speaking scriptural blessings. So the best thing about coming in agreement with scripture is you know it's going to come to pass, because his word shall not come back void, but prospers in that which it's supposed to do. So, you know, that's a whole nother area where the wife's more spiritual than the husband. We see that a lot. You need to love him. you need to have, I wouldn't preach to them. You need to love them, but you also need to pray the word. So you may not have Shabbat dinner, but if you're going to have dinner and you're going to pray over the food, pray scripture. Because the more they hear the scripture and then you come in agreement with the scripture, that gives the scripture a chance to manifest results in the family. So, that would probably be my biggest thing is you have to pray and nurture the scriptures.
Let's end on this question, and then let's get your final thoughts as we land the plane in this episode. It's something, and we've said it time and time again. I have Rabbi. We don't really, or at least I don't go over the questions beforehand. So, like, this is right on the spot for you. But I think it's kind of in the same vein of the power of agreement. What if I think it's going to be really relatable to people watching and listening. What if you have one spouse that has different spiritual convictions, right? Obviously joined together to become one, right? And so now there's competing, I don't want to say theological views, but spiritual convictions in the home. So, like, how do we turn that in the right direction?
That's going to have to take some open discussions and then not religiously, but carefully go back to say, well, let's look and see what the word says about that, because the answer will always be in the scripture. And, that's the way it's going to work. You have to make a decision to ultimately come in agreement with the word of God. And you know what? If you're going to read the scripture and say, okay, we're going to seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. We're going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of the things will come back to us. What does that mean? Well, that's what we're going to do right now. You have your opinion, my opinion, and we need to get to our opinion. I can tell you the success of Jewish culture is what I just said. In Jewish culture, we understand that we're going to have your opinion, my opinion, and then our opinion. You need in a relationship, marital counseling here, you better get to our opinion pretty quick. But when our opinion agrees with the word of God, then you'll have healing. But until you can get to our opinion and the word of God, there won't be healing. There'll be constant agitation. So, life is on the move all the time. So what happens is you have to constantly, it's like flying an airplane. When you're flying a plane, you can't just get up and say, okay, we're going to be flying here at, 25,000 feet and everything's great. Well, you just flew 200 miles and now you're coming into Thunderheads and you need to go to 30,000 feet because the tops on these are at 28. So you need to go above it. Why go through it and have all that disruption? That's kind of how life is. It's like you're coming up on a thunderstorm. You're at this elevation of agreement. You just need to trim and accelerate a little bit and gradually arise and go up over the storm in agreement. If you stay down here, you may even come into disagreement, and then that puts you right into the Thunderheads, and it creates a bad ride for everybody.
Yeah, Rabbi, I wasn't trying to turn this episode into a marital counseling episode, but I just feel like it's a big pain point. I know that from the prayer ministry, and I just wanted to... I felt like this topic that you could really speak into it. So didn't mean to have a private session between me and you that obviously everybody can watch and listen to. But I just know what some of those pain points are. And I felt like that you could really speak into it. So let's go ahead and wrap up this episode. Let's land the plane. What else do you have for us, Rabbi, as we wrap up?
Well, I will say this as... If you've read my book, Reclaiming Our Forgotten Heritage, I tell the story about how Christy got saved 3 years before I did. And she didn't preach to me. She loved me. And I would say this about agreement. Take it back to what's happening in Israel right now. you could be really critical of Bibi Netanyahu for the last 2 years. Listen, he's not perfect. He is called to lead. He is a great leader. And he's really quite spiritual. But he makes mistakes. I'm not trying to, this isn't man worship here. But it's going to be really hard to criticize him after what just happened with the hostages being released and this peace deal being signed in Egypt. So are there still going to be problems? Yes. But the initial, the way things were with this out of control war that was happening in the Gaza Strip, there's still going to be issues that are going to be there. It's going to take a long time to filter that all out. But you have to honor and respect that, let's say, the father in the situation, Netanyahu, of the family, made the right choices to get. You're going to have to look at the fruit. And for me personally, I make a lot of choices. I am not a big sharer. I don't get up and at House of David and say, hey, guess what? We're going to do this. That's not my style. It's not how I was raised in business. You know, the best thing is just to be who you're called to be authentic, and do what God's asking you to do. And in the birthing time, where you'll keep the naysayers away if you don't feed them all the information, out of sight, out of mind. So, and that's how I work. So it's better that, excuse me, whatever you're building comes out, and it will, then let the fruit of it speak. But you're going to have to kind of be mature enough and a good enough leader to know you're going to put up with a lot of backlash in that period of time. Do not defend yourself. Do not try to prove that you were right. Just pray for the people, love the people, forgive the people, and keep moving on in that love, and then let the results and the testimony overcome over time. That's what's going to happen with Netanyahu. You're going to see it on the world stage. And that's what actually is going to happen with Donald Trump in the world stage, except those that have Trump derangement syndrome, which is really a syndrome. But my point is, what happens is you have to be, as a parent, a wife with a husband that's not walking right or whatever, you've got to be able to bring the results and the deliverables if you're going to change. With Christy, what happened with me, she became a better wife. The family was getting blessed. She became my broker. I literally would go to her and say, it's embarrassing now. I'd go, okay, now listen, I want this account to go down. You tell God I'll tithe 50%. If it go, I mean, it was like, she was like the broker, like, go cut the deal because I know that you're God and what you're worshiping works. See, that those were the steps. So, but the key is you have to have results. So be in agreement with God's word, love God, forgive those who despitefully speak about you and misuse you, and move on and let the results one day will vindicate you, so to say, or establish what you did was right. But, you know, there are situations that I've been through where it doesn't matter how big. You know, when we were doing the airplanes in Israel, we were so criticized out in Seattle bringing planes to Russia to bring the Jews back to Israel. You know, we were raising hundreds of millions of dollars and everyone said we were crazy. It's never going to happen. So even after years and hundreds of thousands of Jewish people flew on those planes, I never had one person ever call up and say, you know what, I need to ask you to forgive me because I called you and that group crazy. And that never happened. So I don't know. I personally, my reward is in heaven from the Lord, and I do my work as unto the Lord. Every time I approach a pulpit, I preach to one. It's him. I get in my car every time when I leave this building and here at House of David, and I ask the Lord, I'll do it today from these podcasts. I'll say, Father, did you like it? Was it good? And I take correction and direction from God. Did we do a good job? The good job I'm thinking is, did we communicate your heart to your people? Not did, was I articulate? Not none of that. I want to be excellent. I want to do my work unto the Lord. But the thing is, Lord, did the anointing flow so that the people could receive? That's the mindset. And you have to have that mindset in any seven mountain of influence. Lord, the decisions I'm making, the way I'm branding my company, the way I'm reaching out, am I building your kingdom or am I sowing division? Am I damaging your kingdom by the way I'm conducting my business? Am I lying, cheating, stealing? Am I overcharging? Am I one way on Sunday and another way at the office? All that type of stuff. You've got to be consistent. And the thing is, inconsistency in the Lord's ways is not only poisoning other people, but the biggest thing at the end of the day is it poisons you. And you know that you're a fraud. You know that you're not real. And the biggest thing is you need to ask the Lord, Father God, in Yeshua's name, make me authentic, make me real. I know you called and chose me, but I ask Jesus to be the author and finisher of my faith because he's the high priest of my sanctuary. Finish the good work that you began in me. Teach me your ways. Those types of prayers are very sincere, and you need to come in agreement with those prayers and come in agreement that the Lord can lead you, and then you surrender to that plan and you believe in that plan and trust him.
Hey, if this is your first time finding the podcast, finding this YouTube channel or Facebook page, or you're finding the podcast over on Spotify or Apple, do yourself a favor. Do us a favor because we want to spiritually feed you daily and weekly. That's our promise to you. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button on your screen if you're over on YouTube. If you're on Facebook, hit the follow button. Spotify, Apple, if you're listening to this podcast, if that's the way that you enjoy ingesting spiritual content, do yourself a favor. Again, hit the follow button. Also, give us a rating over on Spotify or Apple. It helps this podcast populate a little bit higher in the algorithms, so more people can just see it, listen to it, and invest in the spiritual teaching and education. So we want to thank you for joining us in this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. That'll do it for us. We'll see you next week.